I think I'm breaking the unwritten rules of preaching today as I'm not focusing on those lectionary readings. However, they are all very applicable to what I'm about to say, and particularly the reading from 1 Thessalonians. I want to share with you something of the work of the deacons. And at Synod a couple of weeks ago, we had our book, a book I'd been writing, which is co-edited by a couple of the other deacons. It was to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the diaconate in this diocese. We had quite a few for sale here, but they all went at 8 o'clock, so I'm sorry about that. I think there's one or two there, but I think we're happy to take names and to get some more from St Mark's if they're needed. St Ignatius of Antioch said this: "Let the bishops reside in the place of God and his clergy, the presbyters, in the place of the apostolic conclave. And let my special friends, the deacons, be entrusted with the service ministry of Christ." As a deacon, I think if I had a motto for life or a code for living, it would come from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verse 27, which says, "I am amongst you as one who serves." To me, that epitomises what and who I am. To me and to the church that discerned my calling, I was clearly called to be a deacon. In fact, I'd been doing it all my life. I was born into the church of a clergy family, and a family that had clergy in it for generation upon generation upon generation. I gave my life to Christ at the age of 9, when I promised God I would love and serve him all my life, after I had a profound experience following a conversation I had with my father. And I always think we have to be very careful what we promise God. Serve him all the days of my life. I said to my father, with great concern, why the older people didn't come to church anymore. And if they couldn't come to church, then who went to them? Who took God to them? Who helped them to continue staying connected with Jesus and to grow in their faith? And who would walk with them to the end of their lives? I can't quite recall his reply, except he did say, "I do the very best I can." It was at that point, at the age of 9, that I said to God, "I'll look after them. I'll keep an eye on them for you. I will do anything that you ask. I will serve you in this way and encourage others to do the same." And I've been doing that ever since, and my primary ministry from the church and into the community has always been to the older people. For the past 5 years, I've served on the Episcopal Task Force for Older People and Ministry in the diocese here, where a group of us wrestled with the church's failure to care for its older people properly, and what is it that we should do about it. In the process of those 5 years, I wrote the book When I Am Old, which is co-authored with a deacon from Harden, Deacon Don Jamieson. Bishop Trevor Edwards, in his sermon at the ordination of deacons at St Saviour's Cathedral in Goulburn in 2006, said, "While a loving sacrificial service in imitating Jesus is a call on the lives of all of us, all of his disciples, on all the baptised, there is a real sense in which it remains the essence of ordained diaconal ministry." He goes on to say that the diaconal calling is deeper and richer than the calling to be an evangelist, the call to live and proclaim the gospel in a variety of different contexts. This is a calling to serve through loving service. James Barnett wrote in his book, The Diaconate, A Full and Equal Order, describing the diaconate as the most glorious and Christ-like of all ministries. He said, "It's the order which informs all orders of the primary work we are all sent to do." In my recently published book, which I referred to, I have said to the deacons, "I doubt if any of us will ever forget our call, even unto death. Something very special will linger on in our spirits and give us that deep peace and connection to our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, our Master, our model, our guide, our mentor, and our hope. As deacons, our call to servant ministry lies deep within our being. In that call, as disciples of Christ, we acknowledge an overwhelming desire to live and grow and work with Christ all the days of our lives, constantly soaking in his love and care and dwelling with him every moment of our days. As disciples of Christ, we carry out and fulfil our purpose to nurture, care and love the marginalised people of God, the fringe dwellers. As deacons, we make the church visible to the world and we are symbols of Christ. I think it's really important to understand the ministry of the deacon in order to understand better the role of all who are baptised. The deacon, in fact, models to all the baptised what it is to love and serve our God. St. Ignatius also states that everyone must show the deacon respect. Hear that? Everyone must show the deacon respect. And the reason they must be shown respect is because they represent Jesus Christ. They are the face of Christ. Now, three aspects of the deacon's ministry I'd like to focus on. I mean, I could talk all day on this, but I'm not going to, so I've just had to skim the surface. But there are three aspects of the deacon's ministry I'd like to focus on, namely service, witness, and liturgy. And I'll start with the liturgy. In the sanctuary here, the deacon has one foot with you in the congregation and one foot in the sanctuary, sometimes focused on you and sometimes focused on the presiding priest. So when focusing on you in the liturgy, there are times when the deacon leads the prayers that everyone is saying, introduces you to the confession, or gives a direction such as go in peace to love and serve the Lord. This is a direction for both the priest and the people. And also, the deacon sets the table for the communion and does the washing up afterwards. So you don't have to come and do that. I'll do that for you. In many churches, the deacon processes in with the gospel in hand, which we've all been living out since we last gathered, and which the early deacons would have guarded with their life and then taken the gospel out again so we can all live that out in the coming week. The deacon reads the gospel as a direction to all present to live it in their daily life, to go and do. There are times in the liturgy when the deacon focuses on the priest and makes sure that everything is ready and prepared so that all the priest needs to do is worry about the actual great thanksgiving. The deacon makes sure that everything else happens and is taken care of. And then the service. And the word service comes from the Greek word diakona. That is where the word deacon comes from. It is easy to see this service as the charitable work of the church or the outreach ministry that is done. But it's meant to be more than that. In the same way it was for Jesus who came to serve us and not to be served. It's also about the self-emptying of Jesus who, although he was rich, for our sakes became poor. And this is perhaps where it is probably easier to identify and recognise the face of Christ in people. But there are many other ways in which our attitude to others and our respect and care of others and our own inner peace will also reflect the face of Christ. For the deacons, exercising their ministry is a way of life, as it should be with all of us. It is lived out in our daily life with a depth of the deep love of Christ. And it's only those deacons who work in places of chaplaincy who are paid. All the rest of us do what we do for the love of Christ, and it's his love for us and the love of a supporting parish that enables us to say, we have never been without. In the book that I've written, The Servant Ministry of Christ, there are profiles of all the deacons in this diocese. If you read those, that you will see the remarkable work that is going on across the diocese from those dedicated servants of Christ. But I'd like to share a couple of stories with you from my own ministry that show the places where we minister amongst the neediest in our community in the name of Christ and the witness that it is. When I was chaplain at the Black Mountain School, where some of the children have the most profound of disabilities, I was watching a child painting in the art class. He had no language and was quietly drawing stick figures of animals, using a book to remind him of the variety of species. His work was beautiful in its simplicity. The animals seemed to be travelling along the ground and up a ramp, and several times the staff pondered on what he was drawing, but no one seemed to get it. I came alongside him and after a moment realised that there were two of every animal and they were heading for a shape outline he had drawn on the page. "Ah," I said to the boy, "you are drawing Noah's Ark." His face lit up. He looked at me and there was this moment of knowing that he had been understood, but also knowing that we were both standing on common ground in the knowledge of God. It was a God moment for everyone looking on. I couldn't help but wonder, locked in his disability, how much his thoughts were of God and the story of Noah's Ark, a story of a God who rescues and saves. I wondered about his family and others who had embraced him with God's love. The young man was in his early teens and his name was Stephen. And on the back wall near the vestry there, there is a picture that he's drawn of the animals going two by two into the ark. And if you have a look at it, it's extremely well done and it's quite profound. So I encourage you to have a look at that after the service. One of the places of ministry that I just thrived in was the one that touched my calling closest to my heart, and that was 10 years of chaplaincy in an aged care facility. I was so blessed in that ministry and in the pastoral care there. I had a tool I used that generated reminiscence, connection and conversation even amongst the most profound of those with dementia. It was a tin, which I called my spirituality tin, an old biscuit tin, and it had in it all the memorabilia that could generate these conversations. Memorabilia from the 1950s through to today, and items such as memorabilia from the Queen's visits in Australia in the 1950s, end of World War II, memorabilia and medals, shells from the seashore reminding people of holidays they had as children and a good time they would have had in all of that. There were pennies and shillings and half pennies, and we remember in all of that the threepences and sixpences we found in the Christmas puddings. And there was even a crown. If you're old enough, you'll remember what a crown was. Not a crown you put on your head, a coin. It's amazing how it generates memory and conversation and where you can bring God into all of that. I'll tell you a story when I was using the tin. A man called Rex. I had a Christ encounter with an elderly man today at the nursing home. He's a man that had lost both his legs. He had suffered a great deal. He was grumpy and at times downright rude. Yet I nurtured and cared for him, a real outcast. He didn't show a great deal of interest in me, in fact delighted in telling me that he didn't have anything to do with God, didn't want to, and wanted to know what I was getting about, my business. Why was I talking to him? I had to go to the nursing home to see a family of a lady I was taking a funeral for, and I stopped to talk to him, this particular man who I knew well, as I was saying. As I stopped, this familiar passage of scripture came into my mind. "For as much as you do to the least of these, you do it unto me." And he started to talk, and there were some nice connections in his story, such as he came from Goulburn, and I'd lived there on a couple of occasions, plus I did my nursing training there at the base hospital in Goulburn. That made a connection with him, as he said that his relative had the obstetric wing named after her, was his cousin, and she'd been married in Goulburn and was on her honeymoon. I may have mentioned this before. They left after the wedding to go on their honeymoon, and both of them were tragically killed at Marulan. So we had a conversation around that, both of us being aware of the situation, yet strangers. So we talked a little bit more. He said he came from a farm out of Goulburn, and I asked him, was it a mixed farm that he'd grown up on? And he said it was. He said all nine children in the family had jobs to do, and his was to feed the lambs the orphan lambs. He had to care for them and give them their bottles of milk. He said, at one stage, I had 30 to look after. And I passed a comment about how hard that must have been and how could you know one from the other. He replied, I knew them all, and no one else could tell them apart, but I knew them all, each one of them. And he rattled off the names, Billy, Jimmy, Sookie, the whole 30 of them. And immediately and from nowhere, John's gospel was before me. It was as if this man was Jesus, and the words of Jesus were saying, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and they know me. And I was amazed. It was a sacred moment. I said to him, do you know that what you have just said to me is a gospel story? And he was actually interested and wanted to know more. How come, he said. So I promised him when I'd been to see the people I was going to see about the funeral that I would come back and I would read it to him from the Bible. We did that, and this man's life was changed. He suddenly saw that in his life was the same. In his life was God, and it was projected through this gospel story. The church would do well to listen to the deacons about their visions for ministry, which has as their goal catching people who have fallen through the net. And isn't that exactly what we do with the holistic care nursing ministries here at Holy Covenant? You know, that holistic care nursing ministry is not a program, it's a ministry. It's a ministry of service to those most in need in our community, the forgotten, the sick, the lonely, the different. You know, we don't look at ourselves and say, we do well in serving our community. We instead humbly say, here I am, Lord, send me. Send me to serve you, to be in service for you, to be you with skin on. When I was going through the memorabilia tin with this man, Rex, he could recognise a lot of the memorabilia in it, but he didn't understand why I had in it a little lamb, a little white lamb. And he asked me, why have I got that lamb in there? Is it because I'm off a farm with sheep? And I said, no, it's always in the tin for everybody. And I said to him, now that is the Lamb of God, that represents the Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world. There's so much more I could tell of the diaconate, but it can be found in the book that has been written. So I just want to conclude with this. Remember, brothers and sisters, every Christian is called to follow Jesus Christ, serving God the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are to serve all people, particularly the poor and the weak and the sick and the lonely. We are to make Christ and his redemptive love known by our word and example to those amongst us who live and work and worship. We are to interpret to the church the needs and concerns and hopes of the world. At all times, our life and teaching are to remind one another that in serving the helpless, we are serving Christ himself. Grace and peace from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.